bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. My name is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today's show, my friends, is focused on Father's Day, which is so important and an essential part of success and reentry for a lot of our men coming home from prison. And Father's Day, you know, is a special day in which we honor God our Father, you know, and we look at Him as the role model for all of us. And so although there are great ball players out there and other people doing some wonderful things here, we look to God our Father as the true role model for how to proceed as fathers. And so, you know, as we proceed in our show this morning, we want to acknowledge all of the great work that our fathers out there are doing to help their kids and their grandkids to grow in faith and to become good men. The Word of God says the steps of a good man is an order from the Lord. So one of the great goals for us is to become good men in all respects. And it takes work, and there's no shortcut to it. It takes work. We want to establish stability, credibility, and become role models as fathers. And there are fathers who have wives at their side, and there were fathers who are single dads who are out there raising kids and doing their best to support their children who are living with their ex-wives. And those are tough situations. And these are the times we're living in, my friends. And that's why it's so important for our young men out there to be careful and to make great decisions to practice chastity and abstinence and self-control and discipline and to respect the great gift of motherhood, because there are, you know, areas of our nation that have high out-of-wedlock birth rates. And in these situations, children are growing up without their fathers in their homes. And even when the father is in the home, is he spending enough quality time with his children, helping them to grow as, you know, good men and good women, doing his part? And so we want to acknowledge the fathers out there who are doing a great job. And for those who are new fathers, we pray for you that God will bless you with a lot of insight to the faith and to apply it to fatherhood itself, which is so important today. Many of our children are growing up without fathers, fathers who are incarcerated, fathers who are addicted to drugs and alcohol, fathers who are addicted to work, who are workaholics and who are not there nor present for daily life. The average father spends roughly 2 hours a week with his kids. So, you know, we have to acknowledge the fact that we have to take time and spend quality time with our kids to give them that, to develop relationships with them, to teach them, to love them, to inspire them, to encourage them, to pick them up when they fall down. It takes time to be a great father. There's no check in the world, no purchase in a store that will substitute for the quality time that you and I can give to our kids or grandkids. It's so important. time to, you know, play ball, time to study, time to pray at night, at bedtime, time to go to church, time as a family to sit down at the dinner table and to talk within our own relationships, within our own family relationships, which is so important. Because people are very, very busy with work, education, sports, hobbies, friends, all kinds of excuses on why we don't get time together. So I want you to take a look at your own environment and make a decision to raise the standards in your home, to give more quality time to your kids, to develop those relationships, to look in and see what they're doing, what they're doing on the telephones, on the internet, on their tablets. What are they doing with their friends on overnight sleepovers? Look in and take a look and see if we can't do a better job of parenting. Don't trust without verifying. We trust, but we verify because it's important. The last thing we want to do in the world is to have to, you know, pick up the pieces of our children's tragedies and help them to start anew. If we can help them to avoid them, it's an even better thing. It's very, very important. It's like in aviation, you know, and in the WINGS program, we use a lot of aviation analogies. Well, you know, there's two conversations we have as instructors. Basically, the first one is going to be all about prevention. How do I prevent an aviation accident, an aviation incident, an occurrence? How do I prevent it? And if I can't prevent it, I actually go into it, that accident or incident or occurrence, then I have to have a totally separate conversation. How did this happen? Could it have been avoided? Could I have done more? And it's the same thing with our kids, because very often we have children involved with different situations because we're not overseeing them properly. And all of a sudden, you know, they're out there with our cars as teenagers. And we get a call in the middle of the night that your son has been arrested or your son has been ticketed and he has a ticket for DUI, or he has a suspension of his driver's license, or a ticket for smoking marijuana. He has a $500 fine. All kinds of things we see in the WINGS program that our kids get into, mainly because we're not looking in. We're not trusting and verifying. We're trusting without verification. And this is important. For many of you parents out there who understand this because you're actually going through a legal case or, you know, rehabilitation for children who have, you know, been working with addiction to alcohol or drugs. You know, we have to do more for our kids to look in and see exactly, you know, what's happening in the day-to-day of their lives. It's not just about doing their homework and getting that done for the teachers. It's what's happening within the school that has nothing to do with the homework. Those friendships that are being, you know, developed with the wrong person, the wrong people, people who are drawing our kids into things that we don't want them to do. We've got to be careful with friendships who lead our kids and grandkids into the wrong areas. So again, this weekend, we celebrate Father's Day, and we celebrate, you know, the gift of fatherhood. And it's a special day in which we once again honor God our Father. And in Italy, Father's Day is celebrated, you know, on St. Joseph's Day. So they look at St. Joseph's Day as a special day in which we, you know, highlight St. Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, which is so important. And for all foster fathers or stepfathers out there, I want to acknowledge the good work that you are doing with your kids, because it is not easy to be a foster father, or a stepfather. And I had a stepfather, so I understand it very well. It takes humility to develop any relationship, and especially, you know, with a new marriage for a mother and a stepfather. It takes humility amongst people to get those relationships right. And I can remember when I was 12 years old and I sat down with my stepfather about 3 months after he and my mom were married, and we were in the kitchen, and he said to me, you know, it's been about 3 months now, and you know, we're doing very well in our relationship and this and that. He said, how would you feel about calling me dad? Now, I knew him for about 2 years, and he was a very respectful man, a very generous man, very, you know, open to conversations. He had a lot of great Catholic traditions, and we were going to Mass every week, and we always said a blessing at the meal. So I said, you know, I can do that. I can call you dad. It's, you know, I can do that. You know, in my mind, I knew that it was kind of new to me. It was like, kind of like a little bit awkward at first, but it became very natural because we had humility between the two of us. And that very often is not present. Because of wounds of the past, sometimes people have a lack of humility. They may have too much ego or pride, and unable to heal for some of those wounds, forgive some of those things. And so, you know, they very often don't get too close, and it takes years for that to happen. But with my stepfather and I, thank God, we had a great, you know, 9 years together before he actually died in 1981, over 41 years ago, May 6th. But I just tell you that, you know, I want that relationship to be good for you and your children the way it was for me and my stepfather, because it's important for a son to have a father who loves him and cares for him and is willing to listen to him. It's important for the son to have someone encourage him at ball games, to help him to get enrolled in a new school, help him to go buy his first car, help him to, you know, learn things about life. And I can remember one day when a plumber came to the house and he introduced himself to my father and me, and I put my hand out to shake his hand. And as we greeted each other, my father said, he said, you know, that's exactly right, Joe. You always want to have that respect with a firm handshake when you meet somebody. So he had those traditions that somehow are lost today in our society. It's up to you and I as parents and grandparents to pass on those great traditions to our kids so that they are growing in the right direction. Again, the Lord says in the book of Psalms, the steps of a good man is in order from the Lord. And so as we grow as good men, we grow into, you know, marriage and becoming husbands and fathers. And St. Paul says that husbands are to love their wives as you love your own body. And that means you want to give it all to your wife and to your children as well. Although in the Word of God, it says that a father has the right to discipline his son. So we have love, and then there's tough love sometimes to teach the lessons of life, to help kids to avoid the tougher lessons, having to learn the hard way through incarceration or the loss of a limb in a car accident or the suspended or revoked driver's license or getting kicked out of school as a child. So a father has a right to discipline his son, but he also, you know, has the right to forgive him. And, you know, divine anger lasts only a moment, but divine favor lasts a lifetime, says the Word of God. And that's where you and I want to be. Divine anger only lasts a moment. So when we get upset because of things that are done incorrectly, we want to, you know, sometimes express that, you know, dissatisfaction, that disappointment, even can be angry, depending on the severity of the situation. It can be a near-death situation because of irresponsibility. But God wants us to love our kids as well, because he says the second greatest commandment is to love one another. So we want to always remember that, that we can have, you know, a time for discipline, but we have to love as well, because the Lord wants us to bring the peace once again. He wants us to make the peace with our kids and not be separated from our kids, which many parents sometimes are for years because of bad feelings. We want to have those good relationships for a lifetime. And it's hard, you know, depending on each situation because of work and sports and hobbies and school. There is a lot of separation as we drive for careers as kids. But we want to remember that God says to honor your father and your mother. And so we want to acknowledge Father's Day once again, that our children need to honor their parents and grandparents. And here God lays it out very simply, very clearly, to honor your father and your mother. And we start out by honoring God our Father, the creator of the world, the creator of heaven and earth, who made the oceans, who made the sea, who made man and woman, who gave us the word of God, who gave us the Ten Commandments, which is so powerful, who loves us, you know, beyond our sins and allows us to gain forgiveness through his son, Jesus Christ. The book of Psalms says, how wonderful your name in all the earth. And this is God, our Father. How wonderful your name in all the earth. And that's where we want to be. What is the credibility of your name in the eyes of your family, in the eyes of your children, the eyes of your community? What is the credibility that you have? We want to, you know, strive for greater credibility through stability, credibility. We become role models and help to, you know, lead people in the right direction. And it's important that we're not unstable and lack credibility and try to maintain positions of authority without credibility. Hard to do, even at the president's level of the United States of America. Hard to do. There have been presidents who have been irresponsible and were impeached. Presidents who were, you know, accused of infidelity within a marriage and lack credibility in going forward. Those blemishes are always there. We never forget them. We forgive, but they're hard to forget because people are in positions of great authority in the United States. But we want to be careful as human beings, as men, as fathers, that we're not neglecting our wives, our children, our homes. We're not abusing our wives, our children, and the privileges that come with being married. We want to proceed carefully, critically, because this is important, that we are building stability as men, and as fathers, we are building credibility. And we are really becoming role models for our sons to do it again, and our grandsons to do it again, so we can guide them and direct them in the way we should go. But the role model that we look to is God our Father, who gave us our Lord Jesus Christ. And with the birth of Christ, we have the creation of our holy family, our Blessed Mother Mary and Saint Joseph, the foster father of Jesus. We have that family unit, and a father has to work to maintain that unit, to work not only financially in providing the necessities for the body, a home and food and clothes and water and education and transportation and everything else that comes with it, but he has to provide the emotional support when things go bad, and the emotional support when there are situations that arise within the family unit, when there were disagreements, when there is trouble in a home between two people. To bring the peace, he must be a peacemaker. And the Lord's word says that blessed are those who are peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And this is important, that we want to acknowledge, you know, a father's role in a home. And, you know, we say that the woman is the heart of the home and the man is the head of the home. But they work together in unison to bring the peace, to bring the love, to help the family to grow as a family and not to disintegrate, which is truly the objective for the devil himself, for Satan, who loves to tear down families. So you and I have to be careful that we are doing all that we can to build the family up, to do our parts in raising the standards, maintaining God's standards in our home, and not just in the church, but in our home, applying it to ourselves so that we're not hypocrites, but we are truly adhering to the word of God. We're living it out one scripture at a time. You know, God says, keep holy the Sabbath day. Are we doing that as parents, as fathers? Are we leading our families to the church, to the sacraments, to confession? Are we leading them to marriage, or are our children sleeping overnights with their boyfriends, living in sin? Are they doing it their way? Are we leading our kids in the right direction? Think about it. Are we as husbands doing what St. Paul said to do? Husbands, love your wife as you love your own body. Love is kind. Are we being kind to our wives, our children? As fathers, are we being patient? Love is patient, says the word of God. Or are we impatient, wanting everything now, unwilling to wait and to be patient? Think about it. What change do you need to make to become a better father? What change do you need to make? You may be already doing a great job, but can we do it even better? The Lord says, strive to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, we never get there, but can we do it better? Can we rise to the occasion? I know that you and I can do it, and it's important. And, you know, this is a special day once again this weekend coming up for Father's Day. And I want to acknowledge, again, all those parents of adopted children who have decided to adopt kids or to take on a wife with children and to create a family unit and to do their part to, you know, go above and beyond the call to do whatever it takes to make things peaceful and loving and stable for their kids in these situations. I want to acknowledge that because this is a decision, a conscious decision that one makes to adopt a child. Take on a child that he does not know. To take on a family that he does not know completely, but he decides now to marry a woman with children and they go forward together and make it work. And they do it God's way. And God will see him through if you're, you know, married in the church, and God gives you that opportunity to bring your children up within the church, which is so powerful. So right now we just pray that all fathers out there will be given the blessing, graces, and gifts from God our Father himself. And then our Father in heaven will lift them up in heart and mind to become the best husbands and fathers and grandfathers that they can be. and that they follow suit as their children grow, that they give them quality time in educating them, inspiring them, motivating them, passing on the traditions from God our Father, the things that are important to our Lord Jesus Christ, that in morals, values, and ethics, biblical principles, that our Father in heaven will enlighten them through the Holy Spirit and give them the insight to the faith, that they are passing these things on each and every day to their children and grandchildren. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, it's a great weekend in which we celebrate Father's Day. And what I want most for you is time, quality time, the most precious gift of time. Alexander the Great said this on his deathbed: I have three wishes before I die. Number one, when I die, I want the best doctors to carry my coffin for everyone to see. Number two, I want my arms swinging outside the coffin. Number three, I want my hands visible so everyone can see. One of his generals said, Alexander, these are three very unusual requests. Can you explain? Alexander the Great said this. He said, number one, I want the best doctors to carry my coffin when I die, to remind everyone that in the face of death, even the best doctors have no power to heal you. Number two, I want my arms swinging outside the coffin for everyone to see, to remind people that everything you accumulated in this world stays here. You take none of it with you. And number three, I want my hands open wide so everyone can see them, to remind you that you came into the world empty-handed. You leave empty-handed. The most powerful gift you ever had was the gift of time, and that is now exhausted. So make the most of your time so that you can live, love, and die with peace. Alexander the Great. So my friends, for you and I want the great gift of time, quality time as husbands and fathers. So redesign your lives to get quality time, so that we're not neglecting or abusing our families, but being reminded of the privilege that God has given us to be fathers to our children and to our grandchildren, and to do all that we can, once again, to be good men. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. Thank you for joining us here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day, and God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless.